Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 30th of August, 2021. I'm joined by Josh.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about Queer Wars 2. There's the new sequel to Queer Wars 1, which we did. I'm pretty sure we're on 2. I don't think we did a 2 before. Also, the repression of the freedom protests around the world, but particularly in the Anglosphere. And also, Biden counting down the clock, because I don't know what else he can do at this point, quite frank. Everything's in motion. All he can sit back is just sit back in his mediocrity and...
Fall asleep.
Do not call it a grave. It is the future you chose. You know, it's that situation, essentially.
I don't get the reference, but okay.
Anyway. So I wanted to mention a few things first. So the first thing I wanted to mention was over the weekend, me, Carl, and John went up to the Academic Agent Conference, and I just wanted to show some of the pictures people have been posting online of just some of the stuff, because I thought I could have some imagery. But I just wanted to say a big well done to anyone, the guys who set that up, the people who went. Everyone was fantastic. The venue, the food, the speeches were all great, and we've got all the footage. Me and John filmed it. We're gonna be cutting up a couple, so Carl's speech will be going up on the website and whatnot. I think Not So Obvious, we're sending him his as well, and then the rest of them, so AA speech, Unpopular Opinions, that sort of thing, that's all gonna get sent to the organizers, and they're selling a book which will then give you access to all of those videos to, you know, make money off the conference. But that was fantastic. I can't wait to look forward to the next one. I just mean, like, look at the food. Like, if we can click on the food here. Like, this is just some guy who took a picture of the desserts. Like, I didn't realize it was like 300 quid for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And you got a thing. Like, what is that? Is that 3 nights? No, that's 2 nights. So you got 2 nights. So, I mean, any hotel, that's like 200 quid. And then the food was just, it was high quality, you know, stuff. And it was just like, actually, that was amazing value for money as well. But if we go on to the next one here, I just want to demonstrate the next link. Just want to demonstrate the as per the person reveals. Revealed preference of soya milk versus normal milk for this conference was very well. And also the last one, if we can go on to. There was a journo, we're pretty sure, that turned up to the thing. Mm-hmm. It was some like woman who came on her own last minute ticket. And it looks like she's written her article, When Localism Becomes Nationalism. Because the whole conversation was about how to get more local and whatnot. So I imagine she'll be publishing something like this over the next few days about how it's white supremacy.
Whatnot. Wait, so this is about...
this is not an article she's written, but this is what I'm imagining she's going to write.
And I was about to say, that was very quick.
Yeah, it is a real article, but it's just not the one she's written yet. But, you know, she's looking at tips. There you are. Anyway, so let's move on. So a couple of things on the website to mention first. So the first thing being the contemplations. I'll let you talk about this.
I decided to have a look at different ways in which election results can be subverted if you have a preferred candidate. And these are all the different methods you can use to get that candidate to win. There is no commentary for anyone who is looking to sue. I'm looking at specific electronic voting machine manufacturers. I didn't really specifically look at the United States. It's other things.
No one mentioned that. We were just talking about the corrupt governments of the world who may be involved.
Exactly.
In such a thing, which is very broad and, of course, of interest. So that's there's that. The next thing I want to mention was the epochs that went over the weekend that Carl, I presumably, did with Bo. I haven't had time to watch it because, again, at the conference. About Roma Britons, the part two.
That was me.
Oh, no.
It's me again.
This. You and Bo.
Yeah, you can't get rid of me, can you? So, yeah. We were talking about, we did part one, which was talking about Caesar, and then we were talking about Caligula and Agricola and the Roman kind of rule of Britain and how that went down. So I don't want to spoil too much.
Civilizing the natives, or?
Okay.
Anyway, but let's move on. So let's get right into the news. So first things first, Queer Wars 2. So we had Queer Wars 1, which I think was a video we did in which there was arguments within the queer community as they described themselves. It's not a slur. It is the term that has been reclaimed. And now we have Queer Wars 2. So if we can get this up, the first image, Andy and I reporting here. A gay man wearing a Alliance LGB shirt has his property stolen and was forced out of the gay pride event in Manchester by radical trans activists shouting, "Trans lives matter." Militant trans politics has come to dominate most gay pride events. So this was a gay pride event, as, you know, the typical pride events are these days. And a guy turned up with a shirt that says LGB Alliance. And he was kicked out by the LGBTs. So the LGBT Alliance kicked out the LGB Alliance.
That's not very inclusive of them, is it? What happened to that principle? Oh, we're a very inclusive movement. We're for everyone, except if you disagree.
And the way they did this is shouting trans lives matter at him. So let's play the first clip so you can get a view of this.
Trans lives matter! 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 Trans lives matter!
think that some people are joining in with Black Lives Matter as well. They're mishearing the chant.
I'm sure the LGBTs can feel very good about themselves, kicking out the LGBs, because they're not to be involved. Presumably it's all just T's left, which from the posters are actually, maybe.
Is this all lost on them, apparently? Just we don't want to be excluded from society. We want to be like normal people. But then when they've got a little bit of power, immediately, as soon as someone does something they don't like, gone.
Well, the LGBs have got their rights. T's need right now. Therefore, you're not interested. You're not involved in this protest anymore. How dare you argue for LGB rights? Would be the thing that I did love how they were shouting, you know, get out, boy. It's very much reminding me of Little Rock, you know, when they were integrating the schools and they, you see the police presence there protecting the LGB alliance from the people around them shouting, get out of here, boy. You know, you're not welcome in this community. That's something to think about. We're also shouting, of course, Trans Lives Matter, because that's the difference. You've got the LGB Alliance, which is a group of people who fight for gay rights, tolerance. I'm sure this would be the kind of thing they talk about, as describing themselves. And yeah, okay, that's a thing. And they've recognized that T on the end doesn't really have anything common to do with the LGB, because LGB is all about sexual preference. T is about gender identity. Different things, therefore different objectives, different goals. It's a weird thing that they became meshed, and of course led to the nonsense of LGBTQIA plus TUP, so on and so forth. You know, if you don't cut off a limit, there isn't one. And the LGB Alliance being a group that did cut off a limit and say, we're about people who are homosexual, bisexual, or lesbian. Basically just gays or bisexuals, really.
So the Trans Lives Matter chant doesn't really make sense here, because he's not saying, you know, they shouldn't exist. They should be... he's saying that their lives are meaningless or anything like that.
No, of course not. But he is, of course, in the realm of reality that men cannot biologically become women. That's the heresy, obviously, which is why they're all screaming about trans lives. So I just wanted to get a look at the state of these people. So if we go to the next one, we can just see like some of these images, if you could click through them. So, I mean, the first one, every event, I mean, even at Swindon Pride that we went to, the dog costumes. What's my sexuality? Dog. Right. Okay. So let's go to the next one here. Of course, you have the transracial pride flags. This one called Rainbow Noir, which, yeah. Let's go to the next one as well. You have this woman, the one who was shouting, get out of here with her arm, and then the next image. I just love how much of like a Cali B-word she looks. You know, with the glasses. Like the kind of person, you know the meme. Anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
So we go to the next one. There's, of course, the verified checkmark queer response, which is well done, Manchester. Trans flag. Homo flag? I don't know what the right term for that conservative pride flag is at this point, because it's no longer the LGBT flag, is it? It's the LGB flag.
I'm not, just as a matter of principle, I'm not keeping track.
I know.
They've got that one rainbow flag, that's it. I'm not going to allow any others.
But it is amazing. I mean, the pride movement attacking each other over the fact that you're the wrong kind of gay. You know, you're not queer with us, you're queer with them.
You're not gay enough for us.
Rightio. All right. But except, of course, it has nothing to do with being gay. It's the radical ideology of trans ideology of the idea that you can biologically become a man or a woman, which of course lesbians or gay people cannot buy into, for the obvious fact that you can't force a lesbian to suck a cock just because you call the cock a female cock. Not gonna work. Anyway, so let's go on to this. So let's go on to the next one here. So this is him continue to complaining about this, the leftist response, and he has some tweets from the person who was kicked out, and he says his LGB supporter seems to also be post homophobia and racism, and his example is the guy posting, yes, I'm white and gay, not cis, that's a silly name trans use to cope with life, no idea what POC LGBT is, but sounds like a prescription from your doctor that will get rid of it. So this is his homophobia and racism for saying I'm not an alphabet person, I'm just gay. Like, that's what it should be about. It should be about gay tolerance, acceptance, the traditional movement of these folks who are liberals versus the weird communist people who have declared reality an enemy of the people. Anyway, let's move on from this. So what else have the group there decided to do? Well, they've decided to start a petition to pressure media into deplatforming their opponents, which is how you know they're the good guys.
Oh, yeah. Deplatforming, that always shows that you're in a position of absolute power, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, kicking out people from your protest for being the wrong kind of queer and then starting petitions to censor your opponents. The whiff of tolerance is just coming through the air. Anyway, so in here, they provide their reasoning for why media should not talk to LGB Alliance. The UK media continue to provide an uncritical platform to the self-described LGB Alliance, an organisation many in the LGBT plus community feel is a hate group and does not represent them. They do not speak for us, and they could not be quoted, and they should not be quoted or asked to comment on issues affecting the LGBT plus community without queer and unequivocal reference to their status as a perceived hate group. The LGB Alliance are widely thought of as an anti-LGBT hate group. As such, any discussion with the UK media should frame them with respect to how they are perceived within the LGBT plus community.
There's a lot of interesting stuff going on there.
That's amazing.
I like how they have the nerve to be like, yeah, they don't talk for LGB people like us, even though that's who it's made up with.
I love it. Like we speak for gays, not them. How can you tell? They don't have the T at the end. Right, okay. So it's literally like the group of radical, gender ideologues. And then you have the LGB Alliance, which is the people who were in the movement who have now left and formed their own group to be like, hey, no, we're drawing the line at, you know, gay tolerance. They don't represent gay people. We represent gay people, the LGBT plus group. I mean, this is the criticism only labeled at the gender ideologues, which is, of course, they don't represent most homosexuals, because when you ask most homosexuals, so on and so forth, they hate these people. And, well, I mean, you can just look at them. Like, the kind of people who go to these parades and are ideologically involved in that way, they are not normal people within homosexual groups. They are the fringe of the fringe. And they honestly, endlessly claim, like, we represent homosexuals and so forth, and they obviously don't. And they've always hated that criticism, yeah. But now they're using it against the LGB Alliance, who is explicitly just gay people who are like, yeah, we're not up for gender ideology. We just want to be accepted. I mean, amazing. But also the fact that they're just like, yeah, our opponents hate group. Really? What have they done? I mean, you kicked them out of the Pride event forcefully. I mean, you ended up getting the police having to escort him for his own safety out of your Pride event from the group of diversity and tolerance. And also, you're now trying to pressure the media into not talking to the enemy because they have different opinions. And they're the hate group, are they? They're the ones spreading hate, not you.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly a chance of love I heard there. When
get out of here,
boy. Those accusatory fingers, yeah.
Like, get the authorities to escort him. Not going to be safe. Owen Jones had something to dribble on about as well, so he also had, of course, the same position. He says, media outlets note the LGB Alliance does not represent lesbian, gay, or bisexual people in any shape or form. But the LGBTs totally do. They totally represent homosexuals, but the LGBs, they don't represent any homosexuals. I can't get over just the brain-dead take of being like, yeah, that alphabet group doesn't represent them, this alphabet group does. Even though, of course, the only difference between the two alphabet groups is the T bit. And the LGB is trying to claim, okay, we can speak on homosexual issues. And that's the line. That's where we're dropping it. You know, LGB. But the T group is like, no. Us transgenders speak for the gays. The gays don't speak for the gays. Amazing. Anyway. So I also wanted to demonstrate again how these people are totally not hateful. I mean, we go to the next image here. I mean, the people using racial pride flags and they're using black power fists are totally not hateful, especially when they're screaming at people at a protest, get out of here, boy. But, okay. So someone tweeted in response to this situation, condemning it, so we go to the next one. Someone else, Helen Joyce, I'm not familiar. And she says in here that woke homophobia is going to get someone seriously injured soon. I could believe it. Yep. I mean, these people are zealots for their ideology and will not accept dissent, as evidenced by them kicking out a dissenter.
I mean, it couldn't get more explicit than that, can it?
Yeah. Anyway, but it turns out apparently he was assaulted. So if we get the next one here, this is some guy who tweeted in response who was very proud that this guy had been bullied out of the entire thing. So he says in here, the first image we can get up, bullying the guy in the LGB Alliance shirt who came to the march is my favorite part of Pride so far. Kiss, kiss. The movement of love and tolerance. I love bullying people. That's entirely what this movement is about. Let's be frank.
Well, it seems like it. It's so ironic that something that supposedly came out of protecting people from prejudice and bullying is now becoming the main force in society of doing so to others.
Yeah.
They've clearly not learned their lessons, have they?
He later went on to issue another statement in this, in which he was talking about, like, oh, I tweeted about this earlier. I was celebrating, and still do, the bullying of the guy. However, physical assault is bad, he goes on to say. It's like, right, so the guy ended up apparently getting physically assaulted after the camera stopped rolling. So, yeah, he did get injured. He was assaulted. Fantastic. Fantastic. That's the way Queer Wars is growing. They're going to have the LGBs physically fighting the T's in the streets. Right. Okay.
I didn't expect this to come so soon, though, to be fair. Like,
I was more expecting the Islamic LGB parade that was planned in Britain to be the spark for this sort of thing, but apparently...
Yeah, whatever happened to that?
I think it's still postponed, but it's happening.
Oh, right.
And Lawrence Southern's going to be the primary speaker, I hope. You know. But I also just, like, you were mentioning about the line here. I mean, there's obviously the two groups. I mean, there's so obviously the group of people who are like, yeah, gay tolerance, acceptance, and then the people who are like, yeah, gender ideology, men can literally become whatever they, you know, they can become women if they just say so. And also, I don't know, you mean dog is a fetish, you know, dog is a sexuality, leather is a sexuality. What else is your sexuality? Bunny wearing suits?
Just the idea that everything is socially constructed is so obviously wrong. Like, it can take you like 2 minutes to refute it.
Yeah.
Easy.
But anyway, I mean, if you needed a way to wake up some people on this who are still on the train of like, I'm for LGBT plus acceptance. Oh, there's a QAnon at the end. Well, I'll add that to my flag. Like, you know, people who are not really paying attention. This is a great example where it's just like, look, there are two distinct camps here. One talking for gay tolerance acceptance and one talking for a million other things. And what group should you be supporting rightfully? And it's got to be the tolerance and acceptance group, surely. So the LGB Alliance have issued a statement on this, and they say, LGB Alliance defends the rights of lesbians, gays, and bisexuals whose rights in law are based on sexual orientation, not gender identity. Of course, the fact that LGBT is a term is, it doesn't make any goddamn sense, even in the construct. Ironically, Pride was originally created to promote those rights. It's ludicrous that a gay man now can't assert those rights at a Pride event without being harassed and evicted. This shocking incident shows that today's LGBTQ plus movement is dominated by gender identity extremism. Correct. Those who take a different view, including trans dissenters, are hounded out. We strongly reject this mindset and will continue to promote our message of just, you know, traditional being like, yeah, liberal standard, we don't want to discriminate in law kind of thing. I don't know where they stand on bake the cake or any of that stuff, but it's, you know, there's the obvious difference here of just being like, here's our limit. They can at least point to one. You know, they don't just put plus at the end and just leave it up to your imagination to what kind of things they're going to declare a gender or sexuality in the near future.
They're pretty upfront about what they actually believe, right?
Yeah, we got gays, lesbians, bis, right? Done. That's the end of the conversation. Not plus, in which, I don't know, you can sneak a P in later on, perhaps.
I was just thinking that, actually.
Yeah, one of the problems these events have. But some people taking memes out of this. You can see this one here. One of these things is allowed at Pride. The other gets you thrown out. Which one is which? And for people listening, on the left, there's a person wearing the LGB Alliance shirt and a person on the right. It's three guys in dog costumes wearing nothing but the dog mask, some leather straps, and presumably some underwear, I hope for the love of Christ, next to some child, a little girl with a Pride flag, being like, hey, look, doggy men. I mean, it's disgusting. And yeah, one will get you kicked out, one will get you celebrated by the gender identity extremists. So there's also the question of, will he get justice out of this, the guy who was physically assaulted? Because if he was physically assaulted, that's a crime, and then you can take that to the police. Will he bugger? Because we all know how the police stand on this debate within the queer wars. They are not in agreement with the LGB Alliance, are they? No, they're in agreement with the LGBT Alliance. So how does the LGB group of this queer war ever get justice if they are victims of lawbreaking, such as being physically assaulted? And with the Spock Rainbow's captain here, and if you scroll down, the rainbow cars that the police are rolling out, they're not going to. They just are not going to at all.
The police seem to have, weirdly enough, picked a political side, which is, of course, against their principles, isn't it? They're not allowed to take political stances, but because we had the police woman who got fired for saying Free Palestine at a Free Palestine rally in London, yeah, right?
There's a whole host of problems with police partisanship in the last year. But the point I want to specifically go on here, we were driving back from the AA conference and we overheard on the rainbows some idiots arguing about the rainbow cars, and they were being like, oh, there'll never be a problem with this. There'll never be a situation. You know, how unlikely is it that there's going to be a dispute about gay rights or something? Well, we have it now. It literally happened the day after that event. And it's like, well, which side of this debate do the rainbow police of vice and virtue stand? It's obvious. And if you need proof, well, we have it from Lancashire Police. Literally the same day. So if you scroll up on this one, someone wrote about this. Security guard and I noticed and removed these disgusting stickers. What were the stickers? These horrible stickers. They said, trans women are men and have a penis. A factual statement. I don't know what else to say. And in response, the police responded, hi, Jamesy. This is really disappointing to see. Disappointed face emoji. We are made aware on this day, and we removed immediately, and there are no further issues during the event. We take reports like this extremely seriously and have recorded it as a hate incident. Thanks. Lancashire Police, verified checkmark.
The voice in which you read that out.
I can't think of how else this guy types. But yeah, so Fair Cop, Harry Miller, has responded to this, so we go to the next one. This is fantastic. We've handed ourselves in, full details provided. So if you scroll down, you can see that he actually did, the mad lad. He literally called out the police. It was just like, yeah, I've done this. Like, emailed them. And, you know, the incident report of him being like, yeah, I totally did this. Now what? Come and get me. Come and arrest me for it. I mean, what are you going to do? And he says in here, let's see how serious Lancashire Police really are. Because, you know, someone dared to put up a sticker that said, people with penises probably aren't women. Women have vaginas. The Liz Truss position, the conservative position on...
stunning and brave.
Yeah,
so, I saw Harry Miller talk about the rainbow police cars on GB News, and that was very good as well.
Yeah, fantastic. But also, there's the other point of like, well, okay, maybe you're still not convinced that this is all nonsense. I don't know what kind of world you're living in where you think this is clearly a sane situation to be in. Well, let's go to the next cutting edge thing with an LGBT ideology. Not part of the LGBT alliance, definitely part of the LGBT group. What's this? Someone's typing: there are lesbians who like men. There are lesbians who are men. There are lesbians who are straight. There are lesbians who are bisexual. There are all this and more. And I love Undoomed there. What do words even mean? There are lesbians who like men. Right, so what is that? That's someone who's in a lesbian relationship. They've got two women, right? They're two normal women in a relationship. They're lesbians. They're part of the L group. And then one of them decides that, actually, I think I've been a man all my life. I'm going to become a man. And now that lesbian likes a man, and they're still lesbians. Even though one of them's a man, as we are told to must agree. But also there are lesbians who are men as well, so the lesbian in that relationship is also a man, but still a lesbian. And then there are lesbians which are straight because maybe they're dating a man, and they've accepted that the trans man is a man, and therefore... I'm not going to waste any more time on this, but the police now have to answer this question. Look, if you're going to take the position of the LGBT group movement over the LGBs, I mean, you could just pick the position, the traditional P-light position of being like, we're just the police. I don't give a toss. Like, we're just going to enforce the law. But no, you've given up that and you want to endorse the LGBT plus movement. What is that answer to this question? I want to hear it. Anyway.
Is there even a question there? It's just a series of weird statements.
Do they agree with this? Do they think this? Yeah, this is totally true.
I don't think it's possible to understand this.
I want to see Cressida Dick endorsing it, though. Because if she doesn't endorse it, what a bigot. Let's move on. So if we go to just an example of, you may think, well, this has nothing to do with me. I'm not engaged in any of these groups. Well, do you like money? Do you pay taxes? Because, yeah, it does involve you. So you can just look here. These are the head of equality and diversity and inclusion groups within NHS trusts all over the country because of government-funded healthcare, taxpayer-funded healthcare. And costing the taxpayer, just on this list that David found alone, of £221,000. Just on this screenshot of... That's the conservative end of these salaries as well. I didn't bother to calculate the higher end of what it's going to cost us.
I have seen, like, £71,000 a year for the head of diversity and inclusion, which...
Yeah, I mean,
what are you being paid for there?
70 grand there, 75 grand there for a head. And yeah, if the NHS ever complains about money again, I'm going to shoot them. So let's move on. That's a joke.
You can't say that.
That's a joke. I'm saying about the institution of people complaining. Just shut up. I don't want to listen to you. You know, you've got hundreds of thousands of pounds going down the drain every year just on salaries of people who check the melanin of the different people who work for you. So let's move on to the US, because that's where we're going, because apparently the US is even worse than us. So we have a teacher here, California teacher, removes American flag, tells students to pledge allegiance to the pride flag instead. Amazing. Let's play the clip.
Okay, so during third period, we have announcements and they do the Pledge of Allegiance. I always tell my class, stand if you feel like it, don't stand if you feel like it, say the words if you want, don't have to say the words. So my class decided to stand but not say the words. Totally fine. Except for the fact that my room does not have a flag. It used to be there, but I took it down during COVID because it made me uncomfortable. And I packed it away and I don't know where, and I haven't found it yet. But my kid today goes, hey, it's kind of weird that we just stand and then, you know, we say it to nothing. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I got to find it. Like, I'm working on it. I got you. In the meantime, I tell this kid, we do have a flag in the class that you can pledge your allegiance to. And he like looks around. And he goes, oh, that one?
So she took the American flag down during COVID, as she said, you might not have heard it, because it made me feel uncomfortable. Why? Because it represents a liberal world order, not a socialist world order. That's why. So she then got her kids to pledge allegiance to the racial pride flag, the one with the little pincer movement going on there of the black and brown stripes with the trans phalanx behind them coming in for support. But again, I just can't get over how progressives look at this and none of their brains even like turn a cog. I just think, why did we segregate the black and browns into their own equal but separate stripes? But okay, just moves on. So yeah, that's where we're going in the UK, because the Americans are already there. And I presume this teacher is still working there and still indoctrinating her students.
I hope not. I can't imagine someone like that ever educating anyone's children or giving them anything of use.
The only other thing I wanted to mention is we do need to be on patrol. Thus, those of us on the right, for people engaging in such thinking. So let's go to the last link on that section, which is just to mention that they walk among us. So this is a conservative MP. I think she's also, what is it, like an apprentice for the Women's and Equalities Department minister position or whatever. But so there's the young Tories who all got together for some catch up and they're all having a drink. So me and the boys.
They definitely look like young Tories to me.
Yeah. And she responds, all blokes. And then an emoji of a woman with like, meh, you know, the hands up and being upset because some guys got together from the young Tories to have a pint.
So what?
Yeah, she needs to be... I think the rightists need to be on patrol for this kind of thing, especially within conservative movements. That is nonsense. And of course, she would not say the same thing if it was a group of women who got together. She'd be like, 100% diverse, so inclusive. Like,
to the young Tories' credit, at least they're dressed far more smartly than a lot of Labour MPs do.
They're dressed more smartly than me. I mean, it's great aesthetics. I mean, again, like trying to put them down for being men. Conservative MP. That's right, I'm a conservative. Anyway, let's move on. Let's go to New Zealand.
Sure. So I wanted to talk a bit about both this New Zealand protest of one person, which the state felt the need to break up, but also lots of other stuff.
Sorry, hang on. So it's just one guy with a sign?
Yes. So they planned the protest. One guy turned up.
Absolutely. What did he plan it with? Did he talk to himself?
Well, I think the intention was there were to be more people, but it must have been either poorly organised or whatever, because I failed to imagine that one person is all the objection the New Zealand state is going to have to some of its policies, because of course the decision to place the country into a level 4 lockdown, which is the highest possible form of lockdown, was made after one case, which in and of itself was also called into question, because there was questions of whether it was a false positive or not and whether that it was a matter of just a faulty test. So it's not even guaranteed that it was a legitimate case or not, but they went into lockdown and then only one person turns up.
I love the chat is just full of people being like, down with this sort of thing, careful now.
I don't want that English spirit to be infected with this New Zealand tyranny, though, to be fair. So apparently the police were alerted of a...
alerted?
They were alerted of a gathering,
right,
of one person. Apparently, I'm reading a quote here. Police have been in the area and have spoken to one person who arrived intending to attend the protest. Police spoke to the individual who was encouraged to comply with the alert level 4 restrictions and chose to leave. So they couldn't just let this one man protest go on.
One man on his own, infecting nobody, doing nothing but saying, careful now, down with this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's too much for the commie New Zealand authorities to deal with.
Apparently so. So it goes on to say, an account on Instagram called On People Who See the Bigger Picture to Get Involved in the Protest, the post criticised Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern and the government for destroying the economy and destroying jobs. And then the article goes on to point out that despite the unemployment rate dropping to 4% in June 2021 quarter and the economy weathering the pandemic better than expected. And this is actually the interesting point here. It's not the fact that the protest was attended by one person. It's the economic stuff that they point out. And you think, well, how can that be right? We know that loads of businesses have had to shut down for a very long time. Lots of high street places have closed. So I've looked into this and the actual economics of it, and this is actually very surprising. So with the UK's data, because I know all of that stuff pretty intricately, apparently our GDP dropped by 9.9%. But of course, GDP, as any economist will tell you, is just one marker of an economy, and there are lots of other markers. So supposedly small businesses were most impacted by turnover, with a slight around 1% decrease in turnover. But medium and large businesses actually increased turnover on the whole. And the number of companies actually increased throughout the lockdown. And, you know, this seems very counterintuitive, doesn't it? Like you think, well, everything was closed. How is this happening? And of course, the fact is that it's backed by lots of borrowing. But people have also seen all these shops and things on the high street close down. However, it's the online sector that's growing a lot to take over. And of course, this was a trend that was happening well before the pandemic. And of course, there is the high street shops being closed because the owners are leveraging the credit rating of these companies to take on more debt, make more money, and then of course declare bankruptcy as well. So it's not entirely pandemic. All these things are closing down anyway. However, the fact that the economy and economies of lots of Western countries that have locked down is largely unaffected is actually a lot worse than it sounds, because of course it makes it easier for the government to keep us at home, because ultimately their bottom line, the money that they're making, isn't going to be so affected as you might think. So this doesn't bode well for future lockdowns and things like that. However, as I mentioned earlier, the UK borrowed $299 billion to pay for the first year of lockdown. Although, you know, the UK's always run a deficit. And for example, 2016-17, we spent $772 billion in government spending. So just a quick aside on the economics that point raised is that actually, yeah, the economy isn't as badly affected as we thought, but that's not good because they're just going to use it as an excuse to lock us down more. But the protests weren't just one person in New Zealand. There were massive crowds in London, as we can see from this video here. So supposedly this is part of the ongoing protests that happen pretty much, it seems, every weekend. And I wanted to cover this again. Nothing particularly interesting happened. It was just a mostly peaceful protest, but I'm not using it ironically, where people just went for a wander with some placards and stuff. And none of the media outlets really cover it. And when they do, they cover it really badly. So here's this next video is a protest in Newcastle over the weekend, where the police use a police dog on a, I suppose, anti-lockdown protester. So if we could start that one. I'm not entirely sure what he's done to deserve this, so maybe he did something bad. I'm going to add that caveat, but it looks pretty awful, to be fair. And then they just walk over with the dog. Obviously, the dog's meant to be used to catch people. And it's grabbing the shirt. I think that's enough of that. You get the idea. So obviously they're not using proportionate amounts of force.
Jesus, I didn't even bite. Just dropped something
there. That was a bit of his t-shirt, I think. Thankfully it wasn't biting his arm. I don't need to watch anymore. Okay. This is carrying on. But anyway, yeah, it grabbed his t-shirt, thankfully. So
for people listening, like this guy comes running down some alleyway, some cop's trying to talk to him or grab him, and he runs into another cop, so he tries to run away again, so the second cop runs at him, and they tackle him, which presumably he's done something, they need to arrest him, or you know, just making assumptions. And they get him down, and then some other guy, some third cop who's standing nearby, sees that they're trying to trace this guy, so he tries to come in and help. But of course, he's holding a dog on a lead, a police dog. So the dog here, I mean, you can't blame the dog. I mean, the dog
has been trained to do this sort of thing, yeah.
Being the good boy that it is, which is that it sees the person that the copper has ran towards and goes in for a bite, and starts biting this guy who's on the ground, and then the guy who's brought in this dog is now trying to punch the dog to try and get it to stop biting someone on the ground who's clearly not a threat.
Yeah, he was being held down by the police whilst this dog was biting him.
Yeah.
And obviously that's not how police dogs are meant to be used at all. And this is the kind of thing where, had it happened under the kind of guise of another event, everyone would be up in arms, but no one's talking about it.
For this one, no one cares. If he had bought, if it went to, what was it, the Sarah Everard vigil, which the cops went to, and the dog started biting the hair and shirt of some woman, then, the entire country would
be having a conversation. We'd never hear the end of it, would we?
That police officer's life would be over. I mean, not just his career, his personal life would be over.
God forbid that happened at a Black Lives Matter rally.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
But no, we haven't heard about it because it was an anti-lockdown protest.
Can we go back to that first article, though? Because I don't think you mentioned that there was something at the end there as well, which I found really funny. Mm-hmm. You can read. So what was it? Last week, around 100 lockdown protesters gathered in Queen Street and 4 of them were arrested. I mean, again, they're just like these tiny protests where they're not upsetting anyone. The chances of infection are incredibly low, and yet still not enough. They arrested 4 people. 4 people were also arrested at a protest of around 20 people in the city of Tauranga. 20 people went to a protest, and the cops turned up and arrested 4 of them.
Yeah, it is ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, New Zealand in particular is probably one of the worst cases of government tyranny in response to COVID we've probably seen in the Western world.
Mm. I mean, they list another one there. Another group gathered outside a police station in South Island city of Nelson the same day. They don't name the number, so presumably it's 5 people or another one, but dispersed after officers issued 20 verbal warnings.
But it's so kind of worrying that the most authoritarian regime is also the one that has the smallest protests.
Yeah, the smallest amount of dissent cannot be tolerated.
Unbelievable. But anyway, I'm going to make you even more annoyed because we're going to have a look at some of the reporting from the Daily Mail about some of the protests. So they say thousands of anti-vaxxers march through London in massive medical freedom demonstrations against vaccine passports. So two very different things here as well. Against vaccine passports, but they also deliberately use the term anti-vaxxers because that's used as a slur now, basically.
Those are two different groups.
Yeah, they're two different groups, but the media keeps on conflating them all the time. So I, at this point, I think it's almost deliberate, isn't it, to wind people up just to say, okay, it was all these anti-vaxxers when in reality it's people against mandated vaccines and vaccine passports, which that's a perfectly liberal cause, perfectly reasonable in a civil society to protest.
There are many people who are anti-mandate because they want people to get the vaccine. If you mandate it, then people are going to be upset, rebel, suspicious. That's the argument for the pro-vaccine, anti-mandate argument. Mm-hmm. That can't exist and you be an anti-vaxxer. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it should be your choice. You shouldn't be compelled to take anything or put anything in your body by the government. That's
the liberal position. But
yes, it is indeed. But it just seems to me that even, especially the Mail as well, this is meant to be, right-leaning, the main one. And where are you going? Ooh.
It's just one of Carl's references. Whenever you mention the right-wing, like right-wing newspaper, right-wing my ass.
Well, on some things they are. Like they like making fun of woke people, but also
so many left-wing people.
Yeah, I suppose. But even they, meant to be our opposition media, apparently not. Never mind. So I'm going to move on to what's happening in Australia. There is some resistance going on there as well. This is annoying coverage by the Mail again, which I thought was interesting. But at least I suppose they are covering it as opposed to some of the other outlets, which are just ignoring it. But they say Australian truck drivers block roads in protest against the COVID-19 lockdowns in Australia. And many truckers particularly took issue with the vaccine requirements for crossing state borders. So that would mean that if they were to continue in their job, they would have to get a vaccine or face losing their job just for crossing state borders within Australia itself, which seems a little bit strong and heavy-handed in my view. Supposedly, the truckers blocked the M1 motorway in Reedy Creek, south of Brisbane, as of this morning. Apparently, the traffic was backed up for several kilometres before the person in charge of the protest said an hour later, that's enough. We're going to stop holding people up now. Mm. So at least they are protesting in a somewhat considerate way. And they say in the article, yes, actually, some of the people who were held up were kind of honking their horns and putting their thumbs up in support, even though they had been held up. So Extinction Rebellion, take notes. You don't annoy people by holding them up all day. Maybe hold them up for a little bit at most, but I don't really think this tends to work.
Yeah, unless you're trying to destroy the country. I mean, I remember I don't remember it because I wasn't old enough to remember, but the fuel protests. So when truckers in the UK would literally go around just like blocking fuel depots and driving on the motorways to hold people up and whatnot. You know, unless you're really going to put the pedal to the metal and see how far you can take things before the government buckle. Don't be a bad about it.
That's one way of putting it. But for example, the Mail here talks to one of the organisers here, Tony Fulton, who says, we want to end these lockdowns. We don't want forced vaccinations and we want to open up the country and to learn to live with the virus. These are not things that are not admirable.
This is government strategy in the UK, YouTube, if you're listening. Like, this is the standard for most Western countries at this point, not for Australia, it seems, and that's their folly.
Absolutely. And this is interesting here, I thought. This is more kind of questionable reporting by them. He admits that he's somewhat apprehensive about getting the vaccine. He's a bit worried about it. And then the Mail writes here, fears about the vaccine have been noticeably absent among those who have issued heartfelt pleas from their hospital beds after being struck down by COVID while unvaccinated. That's just such a blatant and obvious just like dismissal of perfectly valid liberal opposition to these policies. And it's just trying to browbeat people with emotive responses. I mean, it's appalling, really. But anyway, protests have also continued in France. Apparently, over the weekend, 160,000 people turned out to protest the pretty strict rules as far as the... Yeah,
so in France, they have done mandatory vaccinations. And it is that if you want to go to live in life, then you have to have the app with your vaccine certificate on it, papers, please style. And, very liberal, very French.
Isn't it? Anyone entering a restaurant, theatre or cinema or a long distance train or a shopping centre must show proof of vaccination to even enter. Yeah.
So we had the amazing protest strategy of sitting outside the restaurant and just having a picnic.
That's protest done right, where you're not getting in anyone's way, but you're showing hypocrisy. Someone could just look at you and say, okay, why are they sat next to these restaurants? Oh, it's because of the mandate.
Yeah, isn't it awful that this restaurant does that? You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, when people are minding their own business as well, they're more likely to win sympathy, but never mind. So supposedly the protests in France have been continuing. This is the seventh one in a row. The last one was 200,000 people. I don't think there's any chance of stopping, but I thought it's important to cover this stuff because very few outlets actually are bothering anymore. So it is important to know that people are actually, you know, letting their objections be heard and not giving up. And I think a lot of people get the feeling that they have been given up on in a way and nothing's going to change, but it doesn't have to be that way.
I mean, literally, all it takes is political will. Yeah, all of this was done by political will from the elites, while political will needs to push back on it. Anyway, let's move on to Biden counts down the clock, I suppose. So, Joe Biden, his international joke, in case any Americans are wondering. I mean, I don't know if there was ever any respect for him outside the United States as this weird guy who kind of follows Obama around, but especially after Afghanistan and all the rest of it, he is just like... openly joked about apparently in British cabinet, which is the best part. So let's get into this. So the first thing here being Biden apparently falling asleep at a press conference with the Israeli PM, the new one, because they got rid of Netanyahu. And you can see the footage here. It's like 20 odd seconds. And from the camera angle, you can see the Israeli PM trying to talk to Biden and Biden sitting in his chair, snoozing off because it's been a hard day. I mean, I feel you, buddy. I want to sleep sometimes too, but maybe not when you're meeting someone else's prime minister. So there are a lot of memes made out of this. So we go to the next one. You can see there's some people making good memes. Average conversation fan trying to do conversation. Average sleep enjoyer having a much better time of it. Yeah. Apparently, this is fake news. So if we go to the next one, you can see that a video of Joe Biden meeting with Israeli prime minister is misleading, cropped, fact checkers and journalists say. Don't really trust them, but if you go to the next one, there is just the footage the Israelis released of another camera angle, and you can see in the section where he appears to fall asleep, because it's high quality. You can just about see his eye being open, and then he does respond to him after the 20 seconds of having a little bit of a moment. And it is true that he's not asleep, but, I mean, good God, barely. I mean, Biden, even at the best of times, there's no brain on, so, I mean, he might as well be asleep, but whatever. That's the truth of the situation. So we go to the next one. Of course, there's the bomb that went off in Kabul, killing a bunch of Afghans and also 13 US soldiers. Apparently, the bodies of the 13 US soldiers has now arrived back in Dover for Biden and the families to, I suppose, accept and bury. Because what else are you going to do? And you can see Biden there tending, which was, I thought, ballsy of him.
Yeah, considering this could be blamed on him, really, and his extension could of be. The withdrawal. I mean, I'm always apprehensive blaming deaths on someone, but I think, yeah.
You had it's Trump's plan to withdraw by May, you delayed it, and then bungled the situation. I'm going to put the blame on him for this one. So we go to the next one here. You can see some of the photos, so you can see like some of the mothers down there. Yeah, having a tough time, which you would understand. If you go to the last photo on this section, you can see, yeah, this is the photo that came out of this situation. A moment you would have thought would have been briefed a million times of just, okay, we look terrible. Let's make our best, make sure that, okay, we're going to go down there. We're going to, you know, seem like we're taking responsibility by standing with the families as the bodies come back. No, there's a moment in which he just checks his watch for the time, being like, you know, how long have I been here? I can't think of any worse optics than being at the 13 US soldiers who everyone's blaming you for the deaths of, and their mothers crying at the corpses, and you sat there with your watch out.
I mean, the most charitable thing you could potentially say would be that maybe that was a photo of him on the way to meet them, and he was making sure he was on time.
It wasn't. It was. Yeah. You see the hand there. That's from the footage earlier. So with his hand up like this.
Oh right. So this is. So he is actually when they're being loaded off the plane.
Yeah. When
he's
put his hand back, he's still. So I'll just check my watch. Oh. I've been here for
right,
an hour.
So yeah.
Do I have to be here much longer?
That's a fair point.
Yeah. So it is a fair criticism. He does do it very fast, but he did actually do it. And yeah, you would have surely been briefed a million times about how to look good in this situation. But
that's definitely not it.
Apparently not. So some of the family are quite rightly, in my opinion, really angry at Biden specifically and Democratic voters. And one mother called up a radio station to talk about this, as it seems. So this is New York Post reporting. Mum of Marine who died in Kabul attack. Biden voters killed my son. So the quote's from her. Just going to make sure this is not my opinion, because some of these quotes are going to upset a few people in Silicon Valley. 20 years and 6 months old, getting ready to go home from freaking Jordan to be home with his wife and watch the birth of his son. That feckless, dementia-ridden piece of crap just sent my son to die, she told Wilkno, the radio show she called in on. I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning, Miss McCollum said. Two Marines were at my door telling me that my son was dead. I just want you, all Democrats who, I don't know if I can say that, C-word in the election. I think we can know what the C-word is. Who voted for him, all voted for him legitimately. You've killed my son, she claimed. Quote, with a dementia-ridden piece of crap who doesn't even know that he's in the White House, who still thinks he's a senator. So I'm going to try and calm down. Sorry. So that was her calling up the radio station to be like, yeah, this dementia-ridden idiot who I'm sure legitimately got voted into office. He's got my son killed. She blames Biden directly for it. So that's the situation there, which is not great. But that's only the opinion of the families who knew their son and, you know, have lost them. Why don't we ask the opinion of the journos? Far more valid. Who's to blame for the deaths of 13 service members in Kabul? We all are.
What? Really?
You and me, folks. And you. You'll blame for this as well. Not even American, but I'm sure we're all to blame as well. Who's not on that list? Presumably Biden. Biden's the one man out of the human race who can't be blamed for this situation. I mean, such obvious cope. If we go to the article, so this is in here, and I just took a section in which he tries to rationalize his blaming of everyone. And how does he do it? Well, he just says Trump did it. Trump's fault. In a sense, the fuse bomb that exploded on Thursday was lit 18 months ago. That was when Trump, with bipartisan support, concluded a terrible troop withdrawal deal that freed 5,000 Taliban terrorists and sapped the morale of our Afghan allies. Trump made scant provision to save Afghan who had fought with our troops. He's like, yeah, okay, Trump.
So, it's Trump's fault. If Trump's to blame, but we're also all all to blame. Does that mean that we're all Donald Trump then?
Based.
We are all Trump. It's not what's on the outside, it's what's here.
It's such obvious cope. It also doesn't make any goddamn sense, because the 18 months ago, why 18? Why not less? Why did they not leave on, what was it, May 1? Whatever the date was that Trump picked. Why was it delayed? Because of Biden. He is the one who made that call. He did not have to make that call. They already said we're going to leave by this date. They already told the Afghans we're going to leave by this date. And they already told Taliban we're going to leave by this date, which is why they hadn't killed anyone in 18 months. You know, they hadn't killed any Americans. Killed plenty of Afghans, because the civil war is still going on and will continue to go on. And also the point he says that it's 5,000 Taliban terrorists who were released in the peace deal is to blame for this. I'm not even sure if that's true. I mean, number one, it wasn't Taliban, according to the Americans, who did this. It was ISIS. Mm-hmm.
Didn't the Taliban disavow the attack as well?
Yeah,
didn't
we're going to leave that debate for a minute.
Not going to take them at their word for anything, but even so, you know, they're outwardly presenting themselves in that way.
But I don't know. Someone please tell me in the comments. But I thought I remember they signed this in the agreement that the Afghan authorities would release those guys from Afghan prisons. And in response, the Afghan government, who wasn't even invited to the talks in Doha, said sod off. So I don't know, but fact check me on that one. I just can't remember off the top of my head. I just always found that was really funny in the talks in Doha. It was just like, yeah, we're going to have a peace deal with the Taliban. Should we call up the Afghan government? Nah. I mean, it's like the Munich agreement where we didn't invite Czechoslovakia to the talks and then just agreed that the Sudeten land belonged to the Germans. Yeah, anyway. So if we move on from this, there's, of course, some other fallout here. So this is one guy in the American military who decided to make a video talking about his time and the fact that he's really, really annoyed with the accountability within the chain of command, going to Biden as the, what is it, commander-in-chief, as they like to call themselves. I have been fighting for 17 years. I am willing to throw it all away to say that to my senior leaders, I demand accountability, Marine Lieutenant Corporal Stuart Scheller. Sorry about the name. So he's upset about the failures in Afghanistan. And yeah, what happened to him? He got fired.
Because of course, really? For criticizing?
Well, you're not meant to. If you're a soldier, you're not allowed to do this. He would have known the costs. He said, you know, I'm willing to throw away to call for accountability. And yeah, he left. I do love the person who rear-ended this. And if we can click on that just to make it a bit bigger. You know, the Nike slogan, believe in something even if it means sacrificing everything. Well, this guy did. Colin Kaepernick, not so much.
I think he was right to do so, though. I mean, it's one of those things where how could you continue if you could see the chain of command being so incompetent and you can't even say anything about it?
Yeah.
And it's your life on the line, ultimately.
He making the point about accountability as well. He's the only man who has currently been fired for the failures in Afghanistan.
For criticizing the government.
You know, I can agree that, you know, it's not a soldier's place to do this under normal circumstances, but I'm sure he would argue very abnormal stances, which I can see his point. Anyway, so if we go ahead to this, Biden has been walking around doing more stuff. What has he been doing? Well, he went to FEMA because there's a storm on the way, because the storm on the way in New Orleans is apparently coming in. And so he went to FEMA and was giving some press conference about how I'm going to fix it. Who believes this crap? Anyway, so he said at the end of it, I'm not supposed to take any questions, but go ahead, to one of the reporters. And then he responded after the reporter was like, I want to ask you about Kabul Airport. He responded, I'm not going to answer questions on Afghanistan. Okay. Yeah. So here's a clip, if we can play this clip.
Commissioner, I really think it all works. I'm not supposed to take any questions, but go ahead.
Mr. President, on Afghanistan...
I'm not going to answer Afghanistan now.
Can you see if there's still an acute risk?
Okay, so there is President Biden there.
He just turns his back and walks away. What?
It's also really awkward for people listening. Like, he just bangs the table and goes, I'm not going to take any questions in Afghanistan. And, like, turns, but then doesn't know where he's got to walk because he's not in the White House press room or whatever it is. So he just turned around and just, like, stands there with his back to the person who asked him the question. He's continuing to like, oh, okay, I'll ask a different question. I know it's over. And he's just like standing like a child. He's like, if I don't see it, it's not real.
It reminds me of the Mighty Boosh. Have you ever seen that? I'm going to turn my back on you. And then it's just really anticlimactic. It's just nothing.
No. Yeah, I mean, that is what happened. And then eventually some handler's like, yeah, you can probably like scully off down there or something. And then he sods off. But yeah, not taking any questions on Afghanistan. Not going to answer. Not interested. No accountability. Yeah, I mean, that's correct assessment from the guy who's now lost his job for asking for accountability there. What an ass show. But the last thing here to mention is probably the New Orleans storm that's coming in. So New Orleans, as I'm told people say there. or at least I'm told from Dead Island. So this is The Guardian reporting Monday briefing, New Orleans in the eye of the storm again. So some hurricane that comes against the south of the United States, which they do all the time. And the fact that it's going into New Orleans specifically, becoming the eye of the storm, and I've seen some people making the point, it's like he's trying to speed run the Bush presidency. You know, he's only got 4 years, so he's like, oh, I guess we'll do it. Well, you know, destroy New Orleans, bungle some stuff in the Middle East. I don't know when the 9/11's happening, but presumably soon, considering there's far more Islamic terror in the world now. Thanks, buddy. But yeah, that's the situation with Biden, and my assessment that I probably think he's just counting down the clock at this point.
I mean, when even senior UK officials are calling Biden names, I mean, even Tony Blair came out of the woodwork and called him an imbecile.
Yeah, I thought I had included it. I seem to have forgotten. But there was, as you mentioned, some people in the British cabinet started to refer to him as Sleepy Joe and the dementia idiot or whatever the hell else the other terms were. And Biden had been told about this. So he released a statement saying, I will remember that. Which, of course, just sounds like, I don't have dementia. I'll remember it. And I was like, no, you won't. Come on.
The most empty threat ever.
The dementia patient is threatening that he'll remember that you insulted him. Okay, sure, fine. Yeah, that's going to happen.
Doesn't Biden hate the UK anyway? Like, he always mentions that he's genetically Irish whenever the UK is mentioned. Just like, oh yeah.
We didn't ask you about Ireland or if you're Irish. We just said, we're from the BBC, I'm Irish. Okay. Jesus Christ. But yeah, I really think he's just counting down the clock, as I said, because, well, I mean, look at him. I mean, you saw a while back when the situation on the ground was changing rapidly, him not able to keep up with it because he was too busy trying to find a nap he could take, and then his press secretary even looking like, oh, crap, I can't deal with this. And the entire regime is just kind of looking at the situation, I think, and just being like, right, let's just get a pint and wait for it to blow over, almost. But instead of doing a Chad thing of getting a pint, they're just kind of bumbling around, being like, what if we just ignore all the questions? I know the Taliban are taking many, but we're not going to take any.
Yeah. He should be in a pair of slippers, in a rocking chair with a blanket over his legs, retired, not in the Oval Office.
I mean, whoever his handlers are, they're very cruel men, quite frankly. That guy should really be enjoying the farm. Let's go to the video comments.
So it's my 30th birthday today, and so I decided I would wish myself happy birthday on stream, because
happy birthday.
Why not, I guess. Happy birthday, me, you old In all seriousness, though, I do feel as if I haven't achieved as much as I ought to have by this age. Don't know if anyone else feels that way when they reach 30, but, yeah.
I'll wait till you're 40, I guess, but, all together now. Happy birthday to you. In the chat as well.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Jonathan.
Happy birthday to you.
There we go.
Cheers. I'll have a drink of water.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, let's go for the next one.
I have been making this project for a while, and I think you might find it of interest. It's value ranking. It is made in Excel, because I don't know how to program, but I have taken 48 values and have provided a tier list of sorts. I have organized the different tiers into 5 different categories. I even tried my damnedest to define all these words as values. If any of you are interested in this little project of mine and would like to try it out yourself, I will put a link to the Google Drive where you can find this file, download it, and organize your values.
This is the exact thing I recommended to do in an episode of Contemplations where I talk about virtues, where I talk about defining your virtues and then rank ordering them, and it helps you formalize how you think about the world and what things are important. And then once you have these definitions, you have an understanding of what areas they apply and what behaviors you have, then it makes it a lot easier to uphold them.
What's that pyramid that's like the guy's hierarchy of needs or whatever?
Oh, Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
I feel like this is like the hierarchy of based, where it's just like, you know, the better, you know, the like the virgin values and then like the Chad values. As you
hierarchy right at the top.
Let's go to the next one.
Hey guys. I got married.
Congratulations.
I've been talking to my brother-in-law and his wife in Seattle, who are expecting their third child. Now, they're both very vaccine skeptical, and they've been talking to midwives who anecdotally have said that there seems to be a correlation between miscarriages and people who have been vaccinated. Don't know if that's true or not, but as a result, there is a sort of underground community of midwives forming who are going to provide non-vaccinated care to pregnant women.
As a routine course, we're going to have to disavow the medical opinion of midwives, because people who work in Silicon Valley who don't
this
work
isn't
going
on YouTube, so we're all right.
I don't know. I always want to be careful on these things because there are other things to consider. But yeah, there's that. Mm-hmm. I know another couple who are trying for a baby, and they've also taken the opinion of, I don't really care what the government says. We're just going to not. And I can respect that opinion. It makes...
People coming to their own decisions is not ever a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the each to the own thing. I don't really have an opinion on if anyone should get it.
I think if you...
It's up to you.
If you have a health condition, where it actually makes you susceptible to dying, then definitely. If you're over the age of about 70, then definitely. But other than that, I think you...
You're not like me.
Yeah, you sound nice and healthy.
Wrong
There's water. I'm going to carry on talking while you suffer in not silence.
Water went down the wrong hole. Wait a minute.
Or Callum's going to cough in relative peace. I'm going to try and... You're back already.
Yeah, everything's good.
I expected you to... Normally that lasts for a few minutes.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, trooper.
Sorry, what were you saying, my friend?
I can't remember now. Right, let's go to the next comment.
Let's go to the next one.
Logos, part 1 of 5. Many Greek concepts have broad connotations that do not translate well into English. For example, the Greek word metanoia is translated as change of mind, conversion, reconciliation, transformation. Each of these translations are kind of true, because each expresses only a part of the meaning. Well, metanoia is something like a change within a person so profound that what now exists is a completely new person. What English word expresses this completely? Like metanoia, logos is such a word that has deep tendrils of meaning, but is significantly more complex.
You could also use metamorphosis, something like that, where it's implied that something grows and becomes something better at the end of it.
I don't have an opinion on what to use, but I will appreciate your interest in this, because I have similar interest as someone who likes languages. Especially, so far, only with German I've started to find this, where, like, you know, when you're first learning a language, you just find the direct translation as it's written.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, you start to appreciate the word in the context of the language it's written. And then you start reading some words where it's, like, compounded with other words. And you start
That's
getting
rife in German, isn't it?
Yeah, which it's easier to do with German, I think, because the compounds. And so then you start to get, like, a rich understanding of what the word means. And with Greek, I can imagine, because he made the point as well, the Greek word for freedom apparently is more encompassing and more stiffly defined as well than it is in English. And therefore, they have a much easier time of trying to make the case for freedom than we would as a defining rightist principle. And
it's this kind of thing that if you just kind of rote learn stuff at home when you're reading translations of stuff, you're not really going to pick up on it. It's why, like, in-person experience of talking to the language speakers is the most important for being fluent.
But I don't think we can rely fundamentally on, like, a Greek translation to justify the words we use. Carl was trying to make an argument. We need some kind of language we can use that is outside of the leftist language. So, for example, the Endless talking about inclusivity, diversity, and cisgender. You know, all the stupid terms they have. We need right-wing versions to then identify one another and also make advancements and subvert their worldview and all the rest of it. But the idea we can use foreign words to do that, I'm skeptical about, because, I mean, fundamentally, we are trapped in the paradigm of our own tongue. And we're not going to get out of that, because...
do we really need to invent a new language? I mean, the left has created its own. Can we just not keep normal people's manner of speaking?
No.
No?
But he also makes the point of, you know, I've just picked up on it. We could import singular words, maybe. Because, I mean, we do have, like, oikos, for example, or just gruton used to describe homeliness or whatever.
We do it with French all the time.
Like. Yeah, so, I mean, maybe, but I'm skeptical of trying to use foreign words too much to try and make a writer's language, but
we use Latin as well.
Still thinking about it.
Vis-a-vis, that's French, I think, or is it Latin? I can't remember.
This is why I really like English. I told you about English before, haven't I?
You have indeed.
Yeah. People look up English word book, so it's English, but we purged the French, and now the entire language is Germanicized. So dictionary becomes word book, for example. Okay, let's move on.
So it took 20 years. 4 presidents, thousands of casualties on each side, just for us to replace the Taliban with the Taliban. Great.
Hey, I mean, look on the bright side. They no longer have an insurgent Al-Qaeda group with them. They have an insurgent ISIS group with them. I mean, even Al-Qaeda declared war on ISIS because they considered them too extreme. So, also, we lost the North. So, yeah, the net involvement of the West, NATO, in Afghanistan is not just the same. It's worse than we found it.
But we at least we got Osama. I mean,
it was
silver lining. Yeah, I know. Mm.
Look, if we should learn one thing from those 20 years, it's don't trust Pakistan.
I thought you were going to suggest we should have invaded Pakistan.
Hey, that's all for the Indians, which I will fully support. Let's move on.
Hey, guys. My book is a collection of essays. Why read it? One of the essays is Why Learn Latin? To Taunt Your Enemies, of course. There is also a story, Wandering Through the Supreme Leader's Korea. I also redistributed A Moral Code by a Japanese Man. There's an essay arguing for better tobacco policy. I also confront the question of quitting smoking, describing the decision-making process through quantum mechanics. I also provide a presentation on Roman mathematics. The Romans did more than just kill Archimedes.
I mean, I'm interested in the Korean one, but that's because me. as for learning Latin and whatnot, I mean, sure.
I've actually been trying, not very successfully, because...
We've got like Duolingo or something.
Yeah, it's not really the same, but... it's just to be really pretentious. So it's not because I ever intend to use it. It's just if anyone's annoying me, I'm going to reply in Latin just to establish my supremacy over them. It's like, no, I'm joking.
It's very Sigma male.
No, it's just interesting. I like Roman history and therefore I've been learning a bit of Latin just because it's novel to me. And also, of course, it informs lots of European languages, which... is interesting, just the etymology of it.
Let's go for the next one.
Hey everybody, Tony D and Little Joan here with another Pines legend, the Wallum Olum, an ancient book supposedly written by the Lenni Lenape Indian, but it's very controversial, discovered in the 1800s, and some of it was translated. No one's really sure if the book actually existed or if it was an elaborate hoax. It supposedly tracked the Lenni Lenape movement from the Bering Strait all the way across to North America, but the book disappeared before it could be authenticated.
I mean, my initial impressions from that image does make me think of Joseph Smith. You know, the Seer Stone seeing out of a hat thing, where I'm like, this, I ain't so sure about the authenticity of that. But I don't know.
I mean, if this is the original thing, why would it all be in nice, neat English? I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
It's not in English.
As in English writing, like I don't think.
I know
the Native Americans were writing in English, like letters,
alphabet,
were
yeah,
they?
Yeah. Presumably, it's been translated, but I'm looking at the drawings there. I don't know. They make me think, but it's possible, certainly possible. Also, good to see you again, and Joan, who's been good. Let's get the next one.
Two little things. I wanted to explain why you might get some background noise in some of my comments, and of course, I wanted to show off my hobby. It's fun.
Is that a laser printer? Is that? I don't know. I'm ignorant of these things, but I've always thought they're really cool, how you could just put in something and then it creates it. Save a lot of trouble.
There's a guy who made a speech at the AA's conference about 3D printer. I think it was Pharaoh who made this point. 3D printers are the most overblown invention of all time.
Oh, right.
Because they were like, it's because they were going to fix everything. We were going to print cars and all this, you know, we're going to do everything on 3D printers. You can print whatever you want in your house, so you'll never have to go shopping. And it's like, no, that wasn't going to happen. And instead, you get sort of these miniature things. But I'm trying to wonder what use they have on a practical sense.
Getting around gun legislation in the States.
Yeah, that was one of the ideas, which it doesn't seem to have taken off as well as one people were hoping. But you can make very like unique, aesthetic, interesting things that you couldn't make elsewhere on a cheap budget, at least.
I think you've got to be relatively talented as a designer to be able to make the designs to put in the machine.
Oh, you can download
and that'll
them.
Be the... Well, of course you can do that, but I mean, for most people, if you're getting something that's so expensive, you're going to be... want to be able to use it yourself and come up with things yourself, right? You don't want to just be downloading stuff off of the internet because you're not really going to be getting much value for money off of
it. For me, I'll be downloading Imperial Guard Unit 1, Imperial Guard Unit 2.
Over my head.
Oh, well. Let's go to the next one. We got it?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thank you so much for that shout out that you guys gave me. I got over 250 subscribers from it. And also, anyone else who wants to subscribe, I have a new video up that also thanks you guys, and it gives you options between three different magic tricks you want to learn. So if you guys want to learn anything, go and comment below on my video, and I'll make that video for you guys. Thank you.
There you go. It was good to see your video as well on your channel, because of the way we have to do this, like the bitrate on the TV screen we're watching, I imagine on the stream as well, is quite low. It was good to see you in actually HD as well. I'd be like, oh, all right. I don't know. It's like when you see the TV get updated and you see stuff, you know, how it really is.
The transition from like standard definition to HD.
Don't worry. You didn't have the like 40-year-old female presenter problem of, you know, all the gray showing or anything like that. no, you look fine. But the channel, what was it? I can't remember the name off the top of my head. Damn. But go and check out his channel. It's good. It's good magic
Cedric
tricks.
Cedric
Purcell. There we go.
Jordan Peterson has often said, as a civilization, we don't know the limits of the left. Some limits that have been made obvious due to the nature of the modern radical left are equality of outcome and the majority of racial group denigration. However, what about the following limit? Be it socially enforced or otherwise, on the ability to question fundamental assumptions of human nature and civilization broadly, to limit the year-zero revolutionary tendency of the post-Marx left.
I think what he's asking is, do you think they'll go with that? As a something else they want to push, which, yeah, I mean, they are. Am I getting that right, or did you get something else?
I'm guessing, yeah. I think he was talking about the ability to question everything, but I don't necessarily see anything inherently left-wing about that. I think you shouldn't ever take things at face value.
I don't think it was just about questioning. So, I mean, like, he gave the example of, like, they push equality of outcome as a serious thing, which is just, like, ridiculous on the face of it, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Will they go for declaring reality a class traitor? They have multiple times, and they are doing right now. I mean, I refer you back to story number one of the LGB wars. Let's go to the written comments. Do you want to read these out?
Sure.
I might drink again and mess it up.
Oh, we do have comments down here, actually. So, why are people in New Zealand putting up with this? I guess when you give up your firearms, then you have to turn in your balls too. So they had to hand in all their guns, didn't they?
Yeah.
Living in Australia and seeing New Zealanders allow open tyranny disappoints me. It's demoralising. At least in my country, we have patriots putting up some kind of resistance, and it's being a great recruiting tool for the Liberal Democrats of Australia, our Libertarian Party. Australians on here who care about our future should join and end the two-party system that the main parties are trying to create. Yes, I'm all for there being more parties involved in politics, especially if they're Libertarian ones.
I don't know anything about the Oz Lib Dems, but I mean, go and have a look if you're in Australia, I guess. On the thing of New Zealand, like, I don't agree with the gun buybacks ever, but the, you know, the Australian one, for example, one of the things they did. But with the New Zealand one, it's just outrageous, where it's like some foreigner came over with some guns, did a terrorist attack, and therefore native New Zealanders need to give up their guns.
Like, yeah, it was clearly just an excuse, wasn't it? It was just using a tragedy to then take away people's guns.
Like, some Frenchman had come over to England and done that, and we had gun rights, and we gave it away over that. I mean, it would be outrageous. I don't get over how everyone just... I mean, maybe there has been this debate in New Zealand, I'm just not tuned into it. But the fact that it was a foreigner as well. I mean, you would have thought you would just respond by saying, okay, yeah, any foreigner who comes here doesn't get the right to hold guns or something like that. Because, I mean, he had a ton, but...
Isn't that the case in some places in the States as well, where if you're not a citizen, you can't have a gun?
Yeah, we can't go over to the States and buy guns mm-hmm. and own them, is my understanding. I think we can go to a shooting range and use them, and that's about it.
So I think that's fine, though. Yeah. If you're borrowing them off of someone, they're probably going to have to be present, so
yeah,
you're fine. Henry Ashman, welcome to Manchester Gay Pride. No gays allows, some trans person.
Yes. But that's the thing. I mean, they dropped the gay pride part, didn't they? It's just pride now. It's just always pride. Like, that's the name. It's like, you know, Swindon Pride, not Swindon Gay Pride. No gays allowed. Like, no girls allowed.
I find your lack of trans inclusion disturbing. Annalyn Vader, Queer Wars 2. I don't know.
I'm just thinking of, I think it was in Battlefront 2, there is a pink Darth Vader suit you can wear.
There is?
Yeah.
I've actually played that a fair amount and never noticed that.
I think it's a mod.
So okay. Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't know if there's a mod for the, like, trans racial
His cape's just multicolored.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if I've got... I'd love to get on screen because I haven't included this, but I really should. There's a shirt that Everton released recently.
Oh.
It's just like a mixture of all the flags. And it's
we
like
talked about this when I was on the podcast with you previously. I think so. Yeah. It's,
but it's not just Everton. Apparently, like, I think Chelsea have done it as well now. Football clubs for people who
it looks hideous. It looks like a shirt, like a goalkeeper's shirt from the 1980s or something.
Like, if you can make it bigger as well. Cause
oh my God.
There, but people will get the point.
Horrible.
Yeah, look at that. I mean, just look at it. I mean, imagine that on Darth Vader. That's what I've got my mind on. But yeah. I mean, that's the world they want. This is what I'm going to give to you. And you can see what they've taken from you, which is the conservative pride flag. But anyway, let's go to the next one.
Where was I? Kevin Fox. So when are they changing their name to the TQ Plus Alliance, since they don't want anything to do with the LGB? You can't sensibly claim to believe in diversity and inclusion, and include categories of people that you believe are a hate group.
True.
Fair point, yeah.
Yeah. Gays, lesbians, bi, all hate. They're all just hate people now.
Ooh.
They're not diverse citizens anymore.
I just kicked you under the table then.
It's fine. But the idea of a T, what was it? TQIP plus? That can be the new movement. Go for it. Have you little...
I can imagine it's not going to go well, especially with the P in there as well.
Well, what's stopping them? You know, when they put plus at the end, well, that includes everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. That's what I quite like about the LGB Alliance guys, that they've got a strict limit. And it's just like, no, we're here for sexuality. You know, our members, you know, can't help it. I was born this way, that kind of argument. And therefore, they should be equal under the law and all the rest of it. And there's a set limit. I mean, who can really have some massive gripe with that? But when you come across and saying, also, by the way, involved with all of that is that you must accept that lesbians can have sex with men, and also should be forced to, all their transphobes, then no. You know. But anyway, made the point.
Partially foreign. This whole LGB versus LGBT plus fight sounds like a Monty Python sketch. Literally, the People's Front of Judea versus the Judea People's Front.
Yeah, except I'm with the Judea's People Front on this one. People's Front of Judea have gone nuts.
Sheldon Baumgartner. If there was ever a reason to homeschool your kids, that teacher would be it. Seeing those types more and more in the US, if the flag makes them feel uncomfortable, maybe they should move to Afghanistan. I hear they have a newer and more inclusive government. I thought they were going to say something about their flag. We were talking about that earlier, weren't we?
Johnny Harris, I don't think I've mentioned it before. He's a guy who used to work at Vox. I quite like his editing his videos, even though his politics are leftist and I don't like that. But he released a video recently and he turned the comments off, and it's just called "The Taliban Are Lying to You." And he's like spoken to his neighbor who's from Afghanistan. And like the video is just him speaking to him and being like, "The Taliban aren't forming an inclusive government." It's like, yeah, no S. Like, who is stupid enough to fall for this? Are you serious? And he's quite mainstream Democrat. And I'm just like, seriously, is the rubric in the Democratic Party right now the conversation of, well, maybe the Taliban were lying to us? I mean, we were mocking the fact that they gave the list of Afghan interpreters to them.
Yeah.
Because they're obviously just going to kill them. Maybe they really are that stupid that they thought the Taliban
really
were going to be honest partners.
I mean, imagine taking the Taliban at their word. Just like, yeah, they're going to be perfectly upfront and reasonable to the West after we've been fighting them for 20 years.
I mean, I don't want to be too hard on Johnny because I got a soft spot for him. But at the same time, I'm looking at people hanging. I'm just like, look, there is no reason to make this video, surely. Because no one is stupid enough to believe that. But apparently there is within his life and circles. But good God. Michael's just written, LGBT mafia versus the LGBT mafia. Two crime families fighting for control. Michael's opinion. Let's go to the next one.
Shaker Silver. These clashes clearly show groups to be purely political movements and not a community. They are as far from a community as possible, as they claim to be representing the interests of any random person who is slightly queer.
Queer as well. Only certain kinds of queers. Not all queers.
Pirate Skeleton, the way things are going, having the classic rainbow flag will be viewed as an anti-trans hate symbol.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is that 4chan tried to do this. So
they've already beaten reality to it.
Yeah, it was a joke for them. And I think the Babylon Bee even made an article about it in which, so the traditional pride flag in all the colors, they're all on their own, separated from each other. And the meme from 4chan was, what was it, a place for every race. So it's like racial pride. But then they went and made a racial pride flag And now they're declaring the traditional version a symbol of hate and a group of hate. It's just like, well, yeah, they actually beat them to it and they're coming to the 4chan position in the LGBT plus movement.
I don't even understand why on the original like rainbow flag, why the colours have to correspond to specific groups. That seems a little bit...
That's not the point. You know, the point was that it was all the colours because it's the rainbow. But no, now black and browns have their own separate but equal place, and presumably the yellow stripe in the original one is also for another group.
Dave Carter, every time I hear someone trot out the teachers are underpaid nonsense, I just think of all the idiots on TikTok. Fair point.
Yeah, that's one of the positives of the Libs of TikTok account, is you can just send it to normies and be like, come on, agree with this. No, you don't agree. All right, you're in the far right now. Come on. like at the conference, there was a guy there who was fantastic, and he told me a story. He said that he was kind of a queer icon, and he knows a lot of queer people who are in the London scene and whatnot. And they all look to him for, you know, it's like one of these guys that went through it in the olden days, and he's now at the point where he's like, you know, he's defected from the LGBT plus movement, as in the LGB movement, let's say. And he keeps meeting, as he said, other queer people that he's known throughout the years. He'll come up to him and be like, have you been part of the far right? Have you been radicalized? And he's like, well, I suppose so. I'm the far right now. And they're like, oh, me too.
I like how you characterize their conversations as like a couple of old ladies out.
He did a bit of a weird voice
out
as well
of a bus stop
when he was doing it. So.
Shaker Silver again, stretching anti-vax to include anyone against medical apartheid is definitely deliberate. They won't tell you about the French mandate protests who are already vaxxed and burning their cards in solidarity. It's all about normalizing their authoritarianism. Create the new normal, as they say. Yes, that was part of the reason I did that segment in the first place, that they're calling them anti-vaxxers. Many of them might well be vaccinated already. Yeah. And it's just the idea of the government having to mandate these things that is the problem. Anthony Parrish, the British political elite mock the US president they want to deal with over Trump. Don't let them forget it. Yeah, it's a fair point. Although, to be fair, I don't think senior conservatives actually said anything about Trump, did they? They kind of kept quiet. It was mainly Sadiq Khan and people like that who were just like, yeah, we don't want Trump coming here.
I am very skeptical of the Conservative Party's take on Trump.
Guido
Fawkes is probably the best example, where it's like they're a right-wing outlet. They're explicitly anti-Labour, let's say. And they were like tweeting in the final days of Trump, being like, it'll be good when this clown is gone. It's just like, sad about.
Yeah, it's a little bit unusual, isn't it? Surely much, much better for us, because he was more willing to work with us.
Yeah.
Now we've got Biden in charge. He hates us.
Our ally and friend.
Yeah. We'd sooner ally with France than we would Biden, which never thought I'd say.
Let's go to the next one.
You're making some faces. I thought you were going to say something. Kevin Fox, Biden wasn't checking his watch. He was checking his Fitbit to make sure he still had a pulse.
That's a good one.
None Your Business. Great name. Trump certainly did seem to leave a lot of potholes for the Biden administration, as was claimed by the Biden admin when they entered office. But if they knew they were there, I would think that they wouldn't hit every single one of them seriously.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
I mean, there's the argument that's been made about the Trump's the one who got the out and, you know, got the Americans to agree that NATO is going to leave because of the peace deal, and therefore this isn't Biden's fault because we're going to leave anyway. But again, I mean, it's just like, well, if that's a pothole that he's left for him, well, then why did he make it bigger? Why was he the one that delayed it and then was like, no, we'll just, you know, not agree to what we agreed, and also we're just going to delay it to a point in which the African government doesn't exist, so our guys can get bombed.
I mean, didn't Biden get inaugurated in January, and we're now almost in September? That's pretty much 9 months.
Well, the agreement for the date to leave was May or whatever it was.
I know, but to suggest that they hadn't had time to deal with it is a bit ridiculous, really.
Yeah. Do we have any more comments?
Yeah, I'm on the website now. Okay. Spotbell Aspirina, Merriam-Webster has already changed the definition of anti-vax to include anti-vaccine mandates. Check it out. Yeah, I don't recognise Merriam-Webster then. Oxford and Cambridge Dictionary only.
well, that's not how English is meant to work anyway for dictionaries. Like, mm-hmm. English dictionaries are not to be prescriptive. They are to describe how the word is used. And it is,
so, yeah, they're going against that principle then, aren't they?
Unless they're saying that the word is being used by elites to mean people who are also vaccinated but don't want mandates. And therefore, they're updating that that way. But I don't buy that.
It's subversive use of language at the best of interpretation. Who are his wranglers and what are their goals? I think
God, who even knows?
It's handlers, right? Isn't it? Rather than wranglers, although I mean, I think that's a more accurate word for them, trying to capture him and keep him down from causing trouble.
Well, you know, there's the term that has been used, hard wrangling, and so they're wrangling him, and he does well. I mean, his level of cognitive awareness does seem to be the level of someone who is at 60 IQ. So, yeah.
I mean, isn't he what, 78? Something ridiculously old for a president.
Have you watched any footage of him before, back when he was a senator?
Yeah, it's completely different, isn't it?
But like, what's interesting, though, is it's you know, it's a cognitive, awake man who's clearly not enough to be on death's door or anything. But it's also the point of, like, he wasn't never very good. Like, even at his peak, he's just kind of like an average senator.
An average Joe.
Yeah, an average Joe. And now, at his trough of his life, they put him in the White House.
I remember seeing a clip of him talking about a bill that was going through the Senate in the 1980s, and the difference in how articulate he was then, which wasn't that amazing, but compared to now, like, the difference is absolutely stark. Like, you can't get a sentence out of the guy. And although I'm not always one to talk, I mean, the difference between the two is unbelievable. It's clearly showing some degree of degradation there intellectually.
Sorry, I'm confused. I don't know what's going on in the chat. People are discussing Tiger Woods and Trump rerunning together.
And then Tiger Woods, what?
I don't know why. This is like the Tiger Patel, Tiger Woods alliance, but you're ready to fix
this. Sure, Tiger Woods' chance at a political career disappeared when he cheated on his wife, but I think that kind of bars you from any moral... what's the word? Never mind, I'll move on to a comment.
All right.
So...
George says, happy birthday, Jonathan. Yeah.
I'm trying to find all the comments. There we go. So, Alpha of the Betas, we may have left Afghanistan worse than we found it, but at least a lot of corporations and shady individuals got filthy rich setting up for the next 20 years of terrorism, swings and roundabouts. This is something that is always worth pointing out, that the main people who did benefit from the war in Afghanistan were the weapons contractors and people like that. That kept it going and charged exorbitant rates from the government. And that's tax money that they have got rich on as well, charging over the odds because they're pals with the people in government, which happens a lot.
Sorry, meme. You know, you've got the people who are living paycheck to paycheck, and then behind them, you've got the banks who are living investment to investment, and then you've got the US government, which is living war to war. I don't know what the next one's going to be honest.
Oh.
Do you reckon the Americans will win it this time?
I think that the Americans should give it a rest, to be honest. We're going to get brought along, aren't we? Just like, oh yeah, America started another war, here we go.
Yeah. I mean, how many have they lost now? I mean, is it just Vietnam and Afghanistan?
There have been some other things as well.
They've lost, I mean, proper lost wars.
I mean, there have been kind of excursions that they've lost as well, like the Bay of Pigs invasion.
That's not war. Yeah. Nah, doesn't really count. I see Snow Dog saying, I wish Orange Man had won. Yeah, me too. I was making memes over the weekend as well, like little Dark Age memes of Trump and Biden. Which, I mean, you just look at the state of him, and then you just look at the images of Trump's presidency. I mean, with him with all the Big Macs at the White House, or him just hugging the flag. I mean, stuff like this. I mean, just images you don't get out of the Biden regime.
Stephen Fletcher just looked it up. Biden is an Anglo-Saxon surname, either from Old French, botton, meaning button, or Old English, by done, meaning dweller by the down, clearly not Irish.
I do like the interpretation that it's actually Mandarin. Was it Joe Biden? Whoever was doing that before with their name. It's great.
Get down in the comments again.
Shaker Silver says, in another retaliatory strike, the US allegedly drone-striked a bunch of kids and an interpreter. America is really back. Great job, Biden. Yeah, I saw that they drone-striked. They were trying to get some ISIS guys, is their claim. Mm-hmm. And apparently they killed a bunch of kids as collateral damage, which...
Not good.
I mean, the one drone strike in response to all of this, you kill a bunch of kids. And it's,
Didn't the Taliban also recently mention how they don't like how the US is just drone striking without any, like, communication with the Taliban in government now.
Yeah, but so were Pakistan, so get stuffed. It's like...
I suppose they must be a bit wary when their past enemy is just using missiles with impunity in their territory.
Yeah, but isn't that another point? You know, our ally in the region, Pakistan, and mm-hmm. yet sometimes we're using missiles in their territory, just blowing stuff up. Sometimes you're sending in a couple of helicopters to raid a compound and find a certain man.
Yeah.
You just don't tell them.
It's amazing, really, how we can even refer to Pakistan as our ally. Is that? I mean, they're more closely aligned with China anyway, aren't they, than us? So since when does that make them our ally?
I think it
doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's dumb. But anyway, we're about out of time, so I'm going to end the show here. But if you want more from us, go to lotusdiesel.com. We've got plenty of premium content, and we have some really good stuff as well. Go and check it out. The how to rig an election one, I'm looking forward to watching, actually, because I'd love to see just what you'd have to do specifically. So go and give that contemplations a watch. Also, the epochs, which you did with Bo, as mentioned. If you want more from us, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.